This is Phil Farrand. I am driving home. It's Thursday today. It's been a good week. I've been spun off on another project this week. Something came up that they needed a little assistance on, and so I got moved away from my current projects, which one of those was spinning off my other project, so I'm too deep now. Because what is scheduled to be worked on right now is the paperless expense reporting stuff that we're doing. But then we decided we needed to do something called service increment. And then last week they decided they needed some help on fund stuff. So I'm over helping with that. And as is usually the case, that has turned out to be a bit more complicated than we were expecting. So it's supposed to be a couple of days. I don't think it's going to be. Well, it's already been more than a couple of days. But that's okay. We're in it now. We're going to get this done. We're going to move on. So all is well. I am wrapping up the book, which is good because this weekend I'm supposed to be done with book 14. I think I'm on track for that. I wrote the last little bit of the final dramatic chapter. And then we have some news feed chapter stuff that I'm going to do, and then an epilogue, and then I'm out. So I think I'm on track. I do have Sunday as well, because that's the 28th, so I technically don't have to start my read through until the 1st of March. But yeah, I think we're there, and I'm hoping the epilogue is going to go well. I think it will. The epilogue is where we try to hit the moment. That's where I try to make people cry. So I think I've got that under control. I think I know where I'm going, and I think it will be nice. So we'll see. We'll see. So that's all good. Let's see. Oh, costumes. Costumes went fine on Friday. We did Random Acts of Kindness Week. Random Acts of Kindness Day is the 17th, I believe, of February. And then whatever week that falls in, the whole week is Random Acts of Kindness Week. So people seem to enjoy the Winnie the Pooh costume. I had a Winnie the Pooh onesie. And then I had striped socks and striped shoes, black and yellow striped socks and striped shoes and striped arm warmers and striped gloves, and had a little striped bead jacket. And then I had Winnie the Pooh, a little plush toy with Winnie the Pooh. And he was in a bee costume too. So we were just reminding people to be kind. And I was heartened. Honestly, I was heartened by the response when I said, be kind. Because people were like, yes, we need more than that. There's so many people, it seemed to me, that are really just weary of all the haranguing and the name-calling and the condemnation. They're just weary of it. And I'll probably loop back around to this before it's all said and done today, but I have reminded myself again of how important it is for us to be focused on the fruits of the Spirit. Recently had a conversation with a friend, and there were just so many points where he was just kind of going explosive on me. I kept asking them, where does this fall within love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? Where does this behavior fall within those parameters? And if it doesn't fall within those parameters, is this the behavior that you're wanting to manifest? Well, he, you know, had no answer for that. which is kind of a shame because I think we will all look back on this time that we have spent here. And there will be many things that we'll think to ourselves, you know, I could have done better. I just could have done better. Thankfully, God's grace and His kindness and His mercy overshadows us. And He redeems us and He reconciles us to Himself. But I really would like to do better, even in my own heart and my own life. I'd like to do better. So last couple of days I've thought, you just need to memorize that list, Phil, so that you've got it. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Just need to keep yourself focused on that. Because that's the good stuff. The rest of this, not so good. So I was encouraged as I was saying, be kind. People resonated with that. I said, yes, yes, yes. So it's good. Tomorrow is National Tooth Fairy Day. Actually, National Tooth Fairy Day was on the 22nd, which is Monday of this week. But we're going to celebrate on Friday because it's fun. And then next week is Dress in Blue Day. And the next week is Leprechaun Day. And the next week, then, is National Button Week. And that's what I'm working on now. National Button. So it's fun. That's turned out to be a little bigger job than I thought, but I think I've got enough time and it'll be fun. So all is well. I came across an article and I started reading through it. The name of the article was, I Tracked Down the Girls Who Bullied Me as a Kid. Here's what they had to say. And what's interesting to me about this article is kind of going beneath the scenes a little bit and asking what I think are important questions. So Simone Ellen is the guest writer's name. And she says, if you were bullied or excluded as a child or adolescent, it might not surprise you to learn that studies have shown how peer victimization can have long-term effects. That's certainly been the case for me. For decades, I've struggled with low-grade depression, anxiety, feelings of inadequacy, and underachievement that have persisted despite years of therapy. I won't argue that my mental health issues stem only from the bullying I encountered in school, but those experiences and my lifelong shyness, hypersensitivity, and self-consciousness, which made me a perfect target for bullying and exclusions, have had a lasting effect on me. Okay, so what she's saying is, someone did something to me, and that has continued to have an effect on me. My response is, why? Is it that person that is still affecting you, even though you're not around them anymore? What is still affecting you? Now, I think she took a very, very positive step. She says, suddenly I had an idea. Why not interview my former classmates from middle school and high school, not only the people who bullied me, but all of my female peers, including the bullied, and those who seemed to be neither, about their experiences when we were growing up in the town they grew up in. It seemed like such a good idea that I brushed aside the discomfort I felt about contacting people who, in some cases, hadn't spoken to in 40 years. Okay, so social media, easy to get that. So she said, sometimes individuals bully others because someone is bullying them. That was certainly the case with one former classmate I contacted who had relentlessly tormented me during middle school. At first, she was reluctant to talk to me. She ignored my initial Facebook message, but when I followed up, she wrote back and she said, Simone, hope all is well with you. It's a little hard for me to participate in this. I was not always nice to you. I'm so sorry for that. And so, you know, what she finds, the author of the article finds, is that as she goes through this, as she starts talking to people, people start talking about what's going on in their life. They start talking about the things they've been experienced. They've been, you know, they're apologizing. They're doing this, that, and the other. And all of it helps. You know, she said, the author of this article was saying how much this helped. Okay? Why does it help? That's the question. Why does it help? Why does it still affect her after all these years? So, you know, and people are kind of explaining their situation, what was going on in their life. She said another woman recalled being bullied at various times throughout elementary school and middle school. My mother told me, turn the other cheek, but that didn't work, she said. I had no way to stand up for myself, and at that age, kids don't stand up for each other. In ninth grade, she dropped out of school and ran away, eventually ending up in a private school where the bullying was even worse. In a third school, she said, the kids had issues. I became a bully and I would kick them with my clogs. I got suspended and I remember thinking, now I'm the strong one. The author of the article went on to say, I was also forced to admit that I wasn't always kind to others. While I do not believe that I ever overtly bullied anyone, I certainly gossiped about others and shunned classmates who I worried might threaten my own tenuous social status. As I continued my project and began to process what I was learning, I unexpectedly found myself reflecting on my own behavior during those years. I realized there were times when I chose to feel like a victim. I know there were classmates who admired my musical talents, who thought I was pretty and kind, but in some instances I was too preoccupied with my own victimhood to recognize their affection. So she said, I was also forced to admit that I wasn't kind to others. Well, I do not, okay, that's in there. Right. This was crystallized for me when a couple of women I interviewed mentioned that they felt invisible in school. I wasn't bullied. I just felt pushed aside like I didn't belong here or there, one woman told me. It was just a feeling of being unwanted. Hearing this made me regret not reaching out to her and others when I had the chance. So, she says, this project has finally given me the opportunity to forgive the women who rejected and tormented me. After decades of hurt and resentment, I now see them as they were, young girls experiencing their own trials and tribulations, some common to many of us, others more painful than I could imagine. So, and she goes on to say, I'm not saying this project is for everybody, but she, So for me, when I read through this, and I say to myself, okay, what's really going on here? How is it possible that there can be active torment from something that happened years ago and those people aren't even around anymore? Something is festering that torment. Something is bringing it back up. Something is whispering and accusing. And that something, I'm firmly convinced, is the flesh. There is this destroyer in us that as long as we're willing to give the events of our life the interpretation that the flesh is trying to give them, the result will be destruction and anguish and torment. Was there anything stopping this woman from when she thought about how these people treated her? Was there anything stopping her from saying, honestly, I have no idea what was going on in their lives. I don't know what kind of torment they were going through. I don't know what kind of bullying they were going through. I don't know anything about their lives. I do know that the behavior that they were manifesting is not behavior that is conducive to life, but it is conducive to destruction. And it's not only destruction for the people around her, it is destruction for themselves. And because of that, it is certainly sad when people exhibit that type of behavior. Getting my mail? One moment. It's sad when people exhibit that type of behavior because they aren't just hurting others, they are hurting themselves, deeply wounding themselves. And when you, you know, when you hear, for instance, about the mob on Twitter and how they're railing and, you know, attacking people, and it, you know, our response to that should be to pray for them and say to ourselves, you know, I have no idea what's going on in this person's life, but if this is the way they're responding emotionally, you know, you can pretty much count on the fact that their lives are miserable. So what we do, what others do to us, what we do to others, that doesn't have to continue to affect us. Because if we can put it in some context, we can say, you know, I have no idea what that person was going through. But I would just pray that if I've done something to others to cause harm, that they would afford me grace, and I want to afford others grace. And I want to pray for them and say, wherever their situation is, whatever their condition is right now, I just bless them. And I just pray that they will have a wonderful life, that you will meet them, that you will help them to grow, help them to find better paths in life than they were pursuing then. Because this is the secret. All that torment, it wasn't really coming from those people. It was coming from the flesh, and the flesh knew it could use that. And if you turn that on the flesh, if the flesh tries to bring a person back to your mind and say, wow, they really hated you, and they did this to you, and they did that to you, that's just... And you respond with, Father, I don't know what they're going through in their lives, but I just ask that you'll minister to them, that you will bless them, that you will help them. I just bless them in you and ask you to help them find a path where their lives don't have to be filled with apparently as much disgust and envy and anger and all the things that they're filled with, and that's why they're spewing this out at others. I will guarantee you that if you pray those prayers out loud, that feeling that you have of what that person did to you, it'll disappear. Because the flesh doesn't want you blessing other people. It wants you mad at them. It wants you destructive. And if it's doing something that causes you to move in a way that it does not want you to move, it will quit doing it. That's the amazing thing. It will quit doing it. So I really am grateful that the author of this article did take on this project. It helped her to see things from a different viewpoint. It helped her to understand. It settled her on the experiences that she had been through. I'm really grateful that she took on the project. But I'm just suggesting that you don't actually have to take on a project like that. The emotional pain and the discomfort and the disgruntledness and all those things that are churning within you, that's churning within you. It's not because of something else that somebody did. And you can take control of that. And if you take control of that, you can guide yourself into a different lifestyle and into a different approach. And I'm trying to remind myself every day, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Focus on these things. Let's keep our minds stayed on those things. There's a lot of stuff swirling around right now in politics and media and business and blah, 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 blah. But you know, just being with Christ, living and abiding in Him, everything's going to be fine. It's just going to be spectacular. Because we are with Him. And this is just a proving ground. It's just a place where we can actually work under the load we're working under and yet manifest His beauty and manifest His joy and His kindness. Because in 50,000 years, I really do want to be able to look back on this time and say, you know, I understood it. Maybe I didn't always do as best as I could do, but I understood the true nature of reality. He is with us. And the next life is going to be spectacular. And honestly, if we are with Him and listening for Him, this life is pretty spectacular too. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.